Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
I've titled my conversation with you, this devotion, Simply All Providing. A God that is all providing. God will provide everything for us. And I know that sounds trivial. How many times have you heard me or anyone who speaks from this pulpit speak to you on an all-providing God? But isn't it ironic? Isn't it tremendously sad sometimes that though we preach it all the time, we always find ourselves in need? Amen? We always find ourselves needing and asking of God, and sometimes even many times we find brothers and sisters amongst us who are low in spirit and in walk because of that lack of response from heaven. I want to be an encouragement to you, and I want to remind you simply this evening that God is good. I said, God is good. And we should declare that with great confidence on a daily basis at the top of our voices. Always believe and not only say it because it sounds good, but because we believe it. We have been called, the Bible says, to declare the virtues. That is the goodness, the positiveness that comes out of God in towards our lives. The virtues of Him who called us out into the realm of those wonderful virtues He has to give us, to display upon us, to declare them, to begin to speak them, to begin to voice them out with great confidence. Sadly enough, so many of us have learned how to recite the promises of the Lord, but only by our mouths. Only because we have good memories. You know, I'm glad, and I'll say this, I'm always transparent with you guys. I'm dyslexic. I don't know. I know I've said this from the pulpit many times, but I don't use it as an excuse. I do sometimes question God why He would pick me to pastor a church or to even teach the gospel when I can't read or count. But I am dyslexic, but I'm glad. Because many of you here in this house, verbatim, I can ask you to stand up to recite a passage of Scripture, and you will recite the passage of Scripture word by word all the way to the passage. I can't do that. And I'm thankful for that, and I'll tell you why. Sometimes the benefit of being able to recite by memory and having a good memory keeps you from in placing it in your heart. Sometimes when those who are going to universities, yeah, you learn to remember answers. It's not because you know the answer. It's not because you know how the formula works, but you know that 2 + 2 = 4. You don't know how you got there, but you know. So you recite it, and it really has no meaning to you because you really know nothing about math. And in the same way it is with God's word many times. We become a people who know how to recite God's word. We have sayings that sound so positive and makes us make others around us and even ourselves believe that we're secure in the fact that we can remember those things verbatim. But the Bible teaches us that it's not by mouth that we worship Him alone. But it's by heart. Jesus said, I will give them a heart, and upon their heart I will engrave my word. So I'm thankful. Now, sometimes I wish I wasn't because I suffer. You've never seen me suffer from the pulpit. I had a sister years ago, and it was a member of our church. She now moved to Dallas, and she one day after service had been preaching intensely, and she had been looking at me, and she said, you know what, Pastor? I love you, Pastor. I said, thank you, sister. And you know what I love about you? I said, what, sister? Tell me. What do you love about me? He goes, I love the intensity by which you look at God's word. And I said to myself, is that the intensity? I'm really trying to read. I'm just trying to, what? You know, because dyslexia allows you or causes you to read backwards. Everybody reads from left to right. My eyes are now trained to go left to right. But by nature and by birth, I've always read right to left. And that's a horrible thing. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that. But what I'm trying to tell you is that we need to do more than just simply memorize God's word. We need to believe it. Amen? We need to believe it. And maybe you're discouraged today, as we saw. Maybe not discouraged, but you're certainly going through something. You're going through circumstances and issues that have brought you down just a little bit. Well, I'm glad you're here today, because there's simple things that we can do. Your problem is not very deep. Your problem isn't that difficult. There's nothing you have to do so hard that's going to get you to a place where God can respond to you in your place of need. And the first thing I will begin, for the sake of time, is to learn to keep your eyes focused on God. In my dyslexia, I guess I'm going to use it now. Thank you, Jesus. I have learned to find points when I look at something. Even as I look at my lesson plan tonight, I look at it and I have, well, let me show you. You don't do this, but I do. You see that right there? That's a marking point. Anybody else that I know has preached, friends of mine, they write real small in a little continuous sentence. I cannot do that. I have to put marking points in my document so that I can look at it and I can preach and I can speak. And when it comes to changing or moving on the subject, I'll look and I'll see the yellow mark. I'll see the yellow, the green square, and I know that that means something to my eyes, and my mind will act accordingly, and my heart will follow after. But there's marking points. And those for us who are believers and need to find that place where God can respond to us, we need to learn to look for God's marking points. In the world where so many things shine, in a world of so many invitations around us, so many murals around us trying to get your attention, so many shimmering things and Vegas lights and all these things that capture your attention, sadly enough, it completely sways us from finding our focal point in the Lord. And God requires us. He tells us to keep our eyes on the author of your faith. He tells us to find that mark. Because he knows and he teaches that if our eyes are bad, the whole body becomes bad. Do you know what I have suffered during school? As I was growing up, what I suffered through elementary, nobody understood in the early 60s, what dyslexia was. I don't think they learned about dyslexia till the mid-70s. I was already out of high school. I don't know how I made it through. But nobody understood it. You know what they thought? They thought I was just simply dumb. He can't read. Israel, would you come and work this out? And I'd panic. I was 6, 7 years old, and I'd panic. I didn't know what to do. And then I'm left-handed, and I write upside down. I would panic. It's a suffering thing. It was a terrible thing. They would write to my mother all the time. They'd get me tutors. I never got it. And it hurt me. My eyes were bad. And the scripture teaches us in Luke chapter 11, verse 34, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, the whole body is good. Some of you all are excellent because you have great eyes. Now, in my age, I have to wear these things to magnify and give me better sight. But I never used to use them when I was young like these guys. My eyes were sharp as eagle eyes. I could see everything. But in age, my eyes began to wither, and now they're getting more tired from everything I've done throughout my life at 67 years old. My eyes, and now I can tell you that I make mistakes sometimes because I'm sorry, I didn't see that. What is that? Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. And this is the principle that the scripture teaches us. If your eyes go bad, you'll mess up in life. And we can apply that to our spiritual walk. Ladies and gentlemen, if we don't keep our eyes on the Lord, what can you expect out of your walk with God? How can he lead you from victory, from glory to glory, if you're not watching the direction in which he is walking? Our eyesight. When your eyesight is bad, you lose a lot more than just your direction. You get discouraged. A child with such a disease is always discouraged. I live such a discouraged life. Nobody would include me in anything that required good eyesight. I was left out. I couldn't do that because Israel can't see. Israel can't figure that out like we do. And things you fail in when you walk with the Lord and your eyes are bad, sometimes you lose your excitement to serve Him. Sometimes you get disappointed. Your spiritual senses of the Lord begin to numb out. You begin to move away from moving accordingly with the Lord. And you begin to exclude yourself and isolate yourself. Why? Because of what you're looking at. Because of what you're looking at. Now, let me just say, in all fairness to us, this is not something, bad eyesight wasn't something that you and I developed. It happened in Scripture. Even those that walked with Christ had bad eyesight. You think my dyslexia was bad? Jesus was in front of them and they could not see Him. It happened to the disciples when they were crossing the Sea of Galilee. In Mark chapter 4 and 35, you can read that at home. It's a long little passage here. For the sake of time, I don't want to keep you too long. But the Bible says that they were crossing over in a big squall, a storm arose in the middle of that body of water. And at the beginning, they may have been conversing with Christ and all these things. But then Jesus went off to rest and their eyes did not see Him anymore. And what their eyes now began to focus on was the storms and the winds and the waves that were hitting against them. And they went up there almost insulting God, exalting Christ. When they went to knock at His door when He was resting, they said, "Jesus, don't you care that we're drowning?" These are all emotions, ladies and gentlemen, that happen to someone who removes their eyesight from the Lord. You become emotionally distraught. People that can't see what God is doing sometimes get angry with God. They can't see what He's doing in their lives. Sometimes we blame God. We accuse God of things. Well, you know, I don't know where God was. And the question of the hour would be, were you looking at Him? Were you trying to find Him? Were you chasing after Him with your eyesight? It happened to Peter. The apostle Peter who walked alongside him, he also had a similar experience. When they were on a ship, they saw Jesus. It looked like a ghost, the Bible says. Him coming and said, "Lord, if it's You, let me walk to You." And Jesus said, "Come on." And Peter walked on water because he was looking at Christ. But after a little while, he took his eyes off of Christ and he began to look at his circumstances. And the Bible says he began to sink. You see, when you lose your sight of the Lord, when you remove your eyes and you start looking and focusing at other things in your life, ladies and gentlemen, what else do you think is going to happen? People get discouraged from coming to church. People start making excuses for not coming to church. People start making excuses for not reading the Word. Everything begins to grandize around you. Everything gets bigger and Christ gets so much smaller. Somebody say amen. When you remove your eyes, that's all it is. You can give as many excuses as you want as to the whys. But you know what the answer is? The reason is you're just not looking to Christ. Because if you'll keep Him the main focus, if you keep Him right in front of you, you'll always know what He's doing. He's always there to encourage you, to respond to you, and to, just like Peter, pull you out of those drowning waters. It happened to the disciples again on their road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, verse 13. You remember that? They had just witnessed Jesus having been crucified. They were making their way to the city of Emmaus, and Jesus walked right alongside them. They said, "Hey, what are you guys talking about?" And they kind of pushed back at Christ as He was some kind of ignorant individual that didn't know what was going on. He goes, "What do you mean what's going on? Haven't you heard? Haven't you seen what's going on? Jesus, the one we thought was the Savior, the guy we were following, I mean, are you blind to all of this?" And they did not recognize Christ. And again, I say in mentioning this, that this is what happens when you remove your eyesight from Christ. Many times Jesus will come and stand right in front of you, and you cannot even see him. You're so involved in looking at other things. All of a sudden, the crucifixion and the floggings and all these things that these men saw became more important than the Savior. And so the question of the hour for us tonight is, what are your eyes looking at? If you're discouraged today, what have you been looking at? What have you been focusing on? I promise you that if it had been Christ, wherever you are today, you would have never gone to, because he would never lead you to that place. If you're sitting there discouraged today and hanging on by a thread, I promise you, you would have never been there had our eyes been focused on the Lord. Somebody say amen. 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 The second one tonight is to learn to listen. Keep your ears attentive to not only what he's doing, but to the voice of God. Now, this is a very difficult one to do because we live in a world of a lot of noise. Hearing is our second physical sense. You know, we have the smelling, the eye, the hearing, the feeling, and all those things, but hearing is very important as well. It'll save your life. People have lost their lives because they did not hear danger coming. People have literally been hit by trains because they did not hear the blow of the train. People have been hit by cars because they didn't see and they didn't hear the horn of a car. People have been bit by animals, by dog, because they didn't hear the dog barking. They were deaf in their ears. Now, I'm using all these things, and I know that they're just simple analogies, but I want to prove a point and tell you that when you are deaf in Christ, how can you tell when danger is around? How can you tell when you're backsliding if you're not listening to God's voice? How can you tell when the devil's out to bite you? How do you know when how can you hear that the enemy wants to stifle you if your ears are not attentive to the voice of the Lord? Again, those that were walking down Emmaus, they said to Jesus, "You seem to be in deep discussion," Jesus said, "about something." He said, "What are you so concerned about?" This is Jesus talking to the guys going on to Emmaus. And they stopped short with sadness written across their faces. And one of them, Cleophas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard." You must be the only man here in Jerusalem that hasn't heard. See, the problem wasn't that Jesus hadn't heard or that they didn't have hearing. They were listening to the wrong things. Are you with me tonight? What are you listening to? And I can say this, that sometimes we listen to more people who discourage us. People who are more apt to invite you to stay out of the will of God, and you listen to their counsel. This is how a lot of young people get in trouble. This is how a lot of adults like me get in trouble, by listening, having great hearing, but not fine-tuning their hearing to listening to the voice of God. Who do you listen to? Who's been speaking into your life these days? "Haven't you heard?" they said to Jesus. I think Jesus would have asked them, "No, it's not that I haven't heard. The question is, what have you heard? What are you listening to? Oh, you're never going to get well. This sickness is too much. Oh, you're in financial straits. You'll never get out of that. Oh, you know, this is never going to work out. You'll never get better." Just negativity all around. And our minds come and get flooded by these, listening to these negative voices. That all they come to do is to infiltrate your life with strife. Especially when times are bad. That's when the enemy comes to flood you over and to fill your mind with negative things. You remember blind Bartimaeus? Blind Bartimaeus was by the road, and you know his story. Just for the sake of reading it again, time. The Bible says that Bartimaeus heard. That Jesus was passing through. Now, he was a blind man. He had good ears. He had heard that Jesus was coming through. But when he began to call out to Christ, and some noise riled up next to the voice, to the knowledge of him knowing that Jesus was there, and people began to say, "Be quiet. Why are you seeking him?" Began to discourage him. We can be listening to God, and I promise you the devil will always do this, anything he can to scream louder. Amen? Always to scream louder. You can be doing everything you can to pray and to listen to the voice of God. But I promise you the devil will find some bullhorn to try to scream louder into your ears just to get your attention, to get you not to listen to the direction of the Lord. Many times we occupy our ears to listening. Look at this world today. So many people are getting lost today. This internet thing that we have is such a powerful instrument, such a powerful instrument. Some of you, I dare say, are addicted to it. That's where you get your news. That's where you get your gossips. That's where you get everything out of the internet. And you're listening to all of that. Have you asked yourself, is that encouraging me to serve the Lord more? Or is it filling you with fear, concern, maybe sometimes anger, hate, because of all the politics that are going on? Now, I agree, it's a very powerful and good instrument to have, a good tool. We've been able to do great things. I don't even understand it in its entirety myself. But I do know that there are a lot of good things that will come from it. But today, by and large, the enemy has taken a hold of that to fill our ears and our eyes with nothing but negativity. You can find any kind of preacher on the internet that will lie to you and fool you concerning God's word. And we listen. Everyone and their friends are on the internet having all kinds of teachings on the internet, filling your ears and your eyes with false doctrine. And you don't read the word to know how to decipher that which is true and not. Amen? I know this is not very popular. Maybe you'd want Pastor Duke to come back, but that's okay. You don't have to ask me to come back. So many false doctrines, and it's filling us. Some of us have friends that are always trying to find something for you to do on church day. Are you going? Why? This is when we're going to get together. Just the simple things. Anything negative that will come. We are called to take care of our hearing. We're called to listen to God's voice. We are taught in Scripture to give a deaf ear to the calls of the enemies. Isaiah 42 and 20, people suffered of this. He said, "You have seen many things but have paid no attention. Your ears are open but you hear nothing." This is the Lord exhorting or rebuking the body because he's been telling them and giving them instruction. And it seems like you're listening to me, but you hear absolutely nothing of what I'm saying. We find ourselves sometimes in the midst of things because we're being led by our ears and we're listening to things that we shouldn't. Blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear, the Bible says. Blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. We need to start looking at God, looking at what he's doing. We need to start listening to him. The sooner we begin to listen to God's voice, the sooner our salvation or the response to the miracles we're looking for will come. The direction that he will offer us and give us will always lead us to the answer for that which you stood up just a little while ago. I asked you a very important question. How many need God really to respond to your need? And you stood up. First thing I said, if you have a need, show it. But if you really want God to listen to it and to respond to it, stand up. And all of us stood up. I'm standing up. But are we expecting God to respond to us when we are neither looking for him and neither we are listening to him? If we can see him, we can follow him. If we can hear him, we can obey him. And that will always lead us to the answer of the situation for which you just stood up for. We should be able to walk out of here tonight and say, I know where my answer is. I know where my answer is. I'm going to look to God and I'm going to listen to his voice. And finally tonight, keep your heart sensitive to him. Do not become callous. This is also a very important principle. I wish I had more time to just, even in the little things, just tell you how things can come in our lives that will make our hearts hard not to respond to God. Hebrews 4 and 7 says, therefore God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not become stiff-necked. Do not become stubborn. Learn to feel God. Can I be extra critical today? When was the last service you came to? And I'll say this for our worship team as well. For everyone, our teachers, every one of us, I'm talking to the body. I am your pastor. I can speak this to you. When was the last time that you led worship that you couldn't lead worship because you felt him? When was the last time our choir was singing to where they couldn't sing anymore? When was the last time that the congregation was in the congregation in worship that they couldn't stand with the rest of the congregation, but they had to fall because their hearts were broken in the presence of the Lord? When was the last time that worship really meant something to us instead of 30 minutes past time to get into this Bible study? You know what that proves to us? Some people may defend it, and maybe this is upsetting you as I say this, but sometimes we defend it with, hey, well, I mean, come on. No, for real. What this proves to us is sometimes how hard our hearts, how difficult God may have to chisel his way to our hearts to break us. Do you realize that when we worship, you need to realize who it is you worship? And the moment you begin to realize who you worship, you begin to see that you're standing before a holy and mighty God. And you're standing there offering. You see the littleness of you. You see the soiledness of you. You see where you've been. You see how you are. You see your emotions. You see how short you are. You see how much you need to change. You see how helpless you are in transforming your own life. That when you begin to worship, give me Jesus, you begin to realize that Jesus is the only one who can transform and change your heart. Depending on the hunger you have for change, I promise you, no one can stand in the presence of the Lord. Every time we hear of Jesus showing up in the presence of any one of the patriarchs we've read about, anyone in Scripture, the Bible says, they fell as if they were dead. They fell as if they were dead. Because our hearts were so tender with the reality of God. We pray for revival. Father, but I'm wondering if revival came, we could even feel it. Amen. Amen. When was the last time you bent your knee at home in your quiet place, if you have one, and you prayed until you prayed? It wasn't some business meeting with the Father. I'm going to go pray as if you're going to have a business meeting with some attorney. That's not an attorney. Attorney is nothing when you bend your knee in the presence of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And when you kneel your knees in the presence of God, you are bending your knee in every crown you've ever possessed in this world. I don't care how many degrees you have on your wall. They mean absolutely rubbish when you're standing in the presence of He who created everything that is. And you stand there as a child. You kneel there and you fall there as a child. Jesus was sitting with His disciples one time and He asked Peter three times. And what was the question He asked? Peter, do you love me? I can't imagine. I cannot imagine the moment when the Savior of the world, the lover of my soul, would sit there and actually had to ask me and say, do you love me? And Peter says, oh yeah. That was the first layer. That was just physical knowledge. Of course I do love you. You know, everybody said, well, I love you too. I love you. And I love you all. That's just the way we're supposed to conduct ourselves. No. Peter. Do you love me? That's the second layer. Now Peter begins to feel in his heart, like what do you mean? Maybe looked at the rest of the guys. I love you. He goes, no. Do you love me? It was at that moment that the Lord was able to break through fallow ground and broke every shell in the heart of Peter. And Jesus Christ said, Lord, gosh. Do I love you? You know I love you. You know I love you. Those other two times, I didn't even realize what you were asking me. But do I love you? Lord, you're everything to me. We get so used to church sometimes. We get so used to the mechanics, to the aesthetics of church. We're little robots that come into the house of God. We come in and we think it's the gym. We think it's the clubhouse. We think we're just here to get together with the clique of young people, with the clique of adults or the men's meeting or just the clique of friends. And you forget who you're coming to see. How I pray one day the Spirit of the Lord would just show up here and say, Rock of Ages, do you love me? How many would say, yes, we do. Amen. Gloria a Dios. So, yes, we do, Lord. It's the proper thing to say. We are well practiced. No, my friends. Do you love me? Oh, yeah, Lord. I come to church every Sunday and you know, I participate. I'm part of the, yes. Right there, guys? No. Do you love me? What will happen to this body of believers? Would we not melt to the ground? Would we not fall as dead people to the ground, knowing that we are standing in reverence to the Creator of everything that is, the one who gave His life for you? When was the last time you felt Him? When was the last time you actually worshiped until you worshiped? When was the last time that you prayed until you prayed, that you read God's word until God's word began to root deep inside of you, that it began to spring up life as you read the word? Church, these are dangerous times. We are living dangerous times. There's so many things that are rubbing against us that are making it difficult for God to pierce the shells of our hearts. Yet sadly enough, the only way now God can break someone's heart is by allowing us to have some kind of train wreck in our lives. You ever notice that? I won't ask, but I promise you that probably 98% of us in this place came to Jesus because of tragedy. My relationship, my work, my job, my friends, my health, my this, my that. Run to Jesus. It's tragedy that brings us to recognize God. Otherwise, you are doing just fine because you felt nothing. It's tragedy. Let us be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. Let us learn to take advantage of the privilege that we have as a community of believers when we come into this house to know that when we strike the first chord, it's not even about you. It's all about Him. It's not about how good, who sings or who plays. But it's about doing everything we can to summon the presence of the God that we love. Because if He will just show up, that will make this meeting all the worthwhile. If He doesn't show up, ladies and gentlemen, I've said this many times, then we have wasted our time. Keep your heart sensitive. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your ears to listen to His voice. And I promise you, not because they are things that you will do for me, there are things that He requires and things that He will do for you. That if you will look to Him, if you will listen to Him, if you will be sensitive of Him and for Him, He will respond to the need for which you stood up for at the beginning of this service. So the answer's right there. How many times will we stand before we know that it's the Lord who can help us through?
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.